Well, we're continuing tonight in our series, The Weary World Rejoices, where we're looking at lines from some of our favorite Christmas songs and the biblical truths found in them. Tonight we're looking at the song that we just heard performed so beautifully by Alex and the team, O Come, Emmanuel. This is actually my favorite Christmas song of all of the Christmas songs, which is a little weird to some people. People typically, you know, say that their favorite Christmas songs are some of the more normal and well-known Christmas songs, but for years, this has been my favorite song that's sung at Christmas time. One of my family's traditions that we do at Christmas is those of us who live in the LA or Southern California area, so my parents, my sister, my brother-in-law, my grandma, aunts and uncles, everybody in this area, right before Christmas, we do a meal together at our favorite restaurant in the world, which is Lowry's Prime Rib, and we do a meal together there. I just think there's nothing better for me than a prime rib dinner. Listen, I love ribs in all the forms that they come in. I love prime rib, I love barbecue rib, I love smoked rib, I love short rib, I love McRibs. I love all the ribs. All the ribs and all the ways that they come are great for me, but a prime rib dinner is just my favorite thing. And so as a family, we go to Lowry's right before Christmas, and we share a meal together. And one of the coolest things about this experience at this restaurant is they have Victorian carolers working their way around the restaurant, singing, going to tables, taking requests, and singing songs that people want sung. So they're just working their way around, and every year they come to our table and they say, do you have any requests? And without fail, before anybody else can request any other song, I always blurt out, oh come Emmanuel, and I say it aloud because I'm awkward like that. Like I just blurt it out, and they're always taken back, and my family is always like, ugh. And the carolers are like, you don't want to hear, like, you know, a normal Christmas song, Jingle Bells, Hark the Herald, Go Tell on the Mountain. I was like, nope, O Come Emmanuel. You know, so they have to get their book and look up the lyrics because nobody actually knows the words to that song, right? But they sing it for me every year, and it's always just such a great thing for me. Now, I think one of the things that I love most about that song in particular is the longing and the waiting that it expresses. There's kind of this almost darker feel to it, which probably taps into my emo teenage self from the early 2000s, listened to a lot of Dashboard Confessional, and amen, who knows? Yeah, I see that hand. I see those emotions right there. But there's this longing that you hear in this song. There's this anxious desire that it expresses. It's the story of Israel waiting to be redeemed out of exile. And Fusion, it's the story of us waiting to be redeemed out of the spiritual exile we experience due to sin. The lyrics of this song, they are written over 1,000 years ago, which makes it one of, if not the oldest Christmas song that we sing. I just love that this song has been sung in churches around the world 4 times longer than the United States of America has even existed. This song is our history as a people, exiled, lost, anxiously waiting, and then he comes. The Redeemer comes. And I think what I love so much about it is that the very title of this song teaches us one of the most important, if not the most important thing that we learn from Christmas. Emmanuel. See, God didn't send somebody else to save us, but instead, he came. Emmanuel, God with us. Tonight, we're going to talk about what it means that God came to be with us. But Fusion, would you pray with me as we begin? Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us tonight. Lord, we even recognize at the beginning of our time looking at your word together that you are with us even now in this moment. Speak. Guide. Comfort. Be present now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin our time, we're going to turn first to the book of Matthew, which tells us about the birth of Christ. And in the account, an angel appears to Joseph, and he speaks to Joseph about what has happened to Mary, who is a virgin. And the angel talks about the Virgin Mary in verse 21, and he says this. It's in your bulletin, by the way, and it'll also be on the screen. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. Now, before we move on, I want to stop for a second. I want to note what Matthew is about to do. In the next verse, Matthew is going to quote the prophet Isaiah, who spoke about this event 740 years before it happened. Think about that for a moment. 740 years before the birth of Jesus, God spoke through a man declaring that a virgin would give birth to a son. And as if that isn't crazy enough, this son who would be conceived by a miracle would have a name that would change everything for all of humanity. In fact, as we see it on the screen, I would love for us to read this verse together. Can we see Matthew? Let's read it together. Reading now. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. See, Fusion, this idea of Emmanuel, it changes everything. God with us. Not God watching us. Not God observing us. Not God judging us, not God looking down on us, not God waiting for us to get it together, God with us. This is what makes Christianity different than every other religion that we find out there. See, in Christ alone do we find that the God of creation came to be with us. What does it mean for God to be with us? Well, on your handout, the first fill-in for you there, it means God moved into our neighborhood. It means God moved into our neighborhood. Where so often in religions we find a distant God, in Jesus we find that God came to us, to where we live. And I think too often we take for granted what we think about, what Jesus did when he came to earth in the form of a helpless baby. Consider the neighborhood Jesus moved into and think maybe, are there any parallels that we might draw to our neighborhood today? But this neighborhood Jesus moved into, I mean, first of all, the politicians, they thought they were gods. The Roman emperor was called Augustus, which was a religious term meaning the illustrious one who brings light. The Roman coins of the day said that Caesar Augustus was the divine son. It's dangerous to move into a neighborhood when you are the light of the world and when you are the divine son. And the rulers of that time were going to take strong offense to who you are. Does this neighborhood sound anything like ours today? Politicians who think pretty highly of themselves, expect to be treated as the gods they think they are. The people that he came to save, they were occupied and they were oppressed. They were waiting and expecting and hoping for someone to come and rescue them from their oppressors. And they wanted nothing to do with anyone who wasn't about that. It's a dangerous thing to come to a people waiting to be saved from their oppressors, but to come instead with the mission of saving their souls. Typically, they're not going to be very interested in what you have to say. Does this neighborhood of oppression sound anything like ours today? Racial oppression, gender oppression. I'm so glad to be a part of a church where we have so many women and men participating in this effort to raise money and awareness to help end the oppression of sexual slavery in our world today. And it's to these people oppressed by megalomaniacal leaders who desire to tell them what to think and who demand outrageous taxes from them, that God himself comes and moves into the neighborhood. And why? Why did God come and choose to move into our neighborhood? Well, first, I think it's because God knew that we were never going to be able to move into his neighborhood. Not as we were. You see, there are some neighborhoods in this city and in this world that I would love to live in, but I can't. Unless some pretty crazy things happen for me, I'll probably never live in Beverly Hills. That neighborhood is just not in the cards for me. It's a little out of my price range. And in the same way, I would never be able to go to the neighborhood where God is. See, his neighborhood is way out of my price range, and it's out of yours as well. See, our sin meant that we can't move into his neighborhood, and knowing that, he decided to come to ours, to make a way for us to be in his. And second, I think God moves into our neighborhood to give us an example of how we are supposed to live in this world. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes this, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." You see, Jesus being our Emmanuel, in that truth we learn this: God is with us, but God is not like us. God is with us, but God is not like us. You see, where our world and those of us who live in it, where we desire status and we desire power, Jesus chose to set those things aside, to release his claim on them in order to move into our neighborhood. And remember, this neighborhood that Jesus moves into, it was not a safe one. In Philippians 2, verses 8 through 11, it says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." That's dangerous. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, Jesus, God with us, moved into our neighborhood knowing it was dangerous. And why? To save us. To die on that cross that we might have the opportunity to be saved. Have you guys ever needed to be rescued by somebody? You ever found yourself in a place where you need somebody to step in on your behalf into a situation? In high school, I shared about this at the Fusion Retreat some. In high school, unfortunately, I found myself in this teenage place of a lot of partying and drinking and doing drugs and kind of that whole world. And that scene, it's not the safest place in a lot of various ways. And one of the common things in that world for teenagers going to parties, drinking on the weekend, one of the common things that would happen were fights, a whole lot of fights. Everyone shows up to a party on a Friday night expecting a good time, but everybody starts drinking, and pretty much weekly, somebody would take offense to something someone else said, and pretty soon we were all marching out of the house to the street to watch two guys fight each other in the middle of the street. Now, this may surprise you looking at me now, but fighting was never something I was very good at. I was scrappy, sure, but I was undersized and undertrained. However, what I lacked in size and fighting ability, I made up for with a mouth that would not stop talking. Would not stop. I still have this, by the way. See me on the basketball court, the football field, the ultimate frisbee field, the golf course, watching a football game. See me anywhere. Like, the mouth is still there. And that mouth got me into trouble more than once during this time. And oftentimes with guys much bigger and tougher than me. You know the saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. I think the size of the dog also matters. Some, at least. And I remember one time at a party, ending up in the street with a circle of people around me, standing across from a guy who was clearly going to work me. It was not going to go well for me. But before anything started, my best friend at the time, a guy named Duncan, he walked out of the circle, literally stood in front of me and said, "If you want Bo, you're going to have to come through me." At which point I leaned around him and was like, "Yeah, you know?" I can't tell you what it meant to know that Duncan was with me in that moment. Mainly it meant I wasn't going to get my butt kicked. To know that I wasn't alone changed that whole situation for me. Have you ever been grateful to have somebody with you in a scary or tough moment? You see, God moves into what most of us wish we could get out of, our situation. Fusion. When God came to be with us, he came to save us from our sin. That kid across the circle from us that we will never be able to outfight or deal with. And that means that we never have to face anything alone again. He is God with us today in this moment. And when we understand that the all-knowing, all-powerful, universe-creating God is with us in our moments, everything changes for us. See, when you are lost and don't know where to turn, he is with you to guide you. When you are afraid, he is with you to make you brave. When you are confused, he is with you to speak wisdom and direction. When you are hurting and alone, he is with you to be the friend that you long for. When you are suffering, he is with you to be your comforter. When you are weak, he is with you to be your strength. When you are trapped in sin, he is with you to be your savior and your redeemer. When you are angry and hate-filled, he is with you to empower you to forgive and to love. But here's the thing, Fusion. Jesus, he showed us what it meant to move into the neighborhood and to love the neighbors there. But as his followers, if you are a follower of his, we now get to follow his example and do the same for others. One of the things that Tom shared with me this afternoon that he shared to the church, and he asked me to communicate this, and I just so agree with this and believe this to be true. Tom shared about the people that he's experienced in his life, and I know I have them as well, friends, loved ones, family members, who as a result of this political season that we're in are experiencing a lot of fear. And to be honest, as a white male, I haven't experienced a lot of those same fears. But I have loved ones and family members who are not white males who are experiencing a lot of fear right now. And to be honest, I don't have solutions to that situation necessarily. But what I do want to communicate and what we want to be is a church who looks at people who are experiencing fear, and we will say to each other, "I am with you in this moment. I may not be able to fix it for you, but I want you to know you are not walking in this alone. I am with you. If you are scared in this moment, know that I am with you in your fear." You see, I don't find myself in a lot of fights in the street anymore. I don't find a lot of opportunities to stand between two people about to fight and to say to one person, "If you want them, you have to go through me." That's not something that my life really involves anymore. But I do have the opportunity to say to people that I get to do life with, "You will not walk through this alone. This situation that you're going through, you will not walk through this alone." I have very few answers for people, and I can rarely fix their situations, though I know I wish I could. But I can say to them, "I'm with you in this thing." And why do I get to do that? because so many people have done that for me. None more important than Jesus, who came and said, you will not walk through this alone, Bo. I am with you. A line from the song, O Come, Emmanuel, that we sang together. O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease, and fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Fusion, this is what Christmas is about. This is what Emmanuel, God with us, means. That because God is with us, he made things right between those who believe and God, and he is making things right between us and each other. We've made a mess of this world. Racism, sexism, classism, greed, hatred. Humanity finds itself in a tough spot, and so often we wish we could get out of this situation. And here's the good news about Emmanuel. That God got into what we were trying to get out of, to get us out of what we'd gotten ourselves into. See, he came to make things right, and he will come again one day to fix all things. My favorite verse in the entire Bible, Revelation 21:5, says, behold, him who sits on the throne says, I make all things new. That is good news that is coming. And in the meantime, those who are followers of Christ, we are called to love our God and to love our neighbors, following the example that Christ set for us. The beginning of Philippians 2 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but of each of you, the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mind of Christ Jesus. When tested by one of those people in the neighborhood he moved into, look at this encounter Jesus had. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Fusion, Jesus moved into the neighborhood to save us from our sin and to be God with us. And he also moved into the neighborhood so that his followers would bring change to that neighborhood through him. And that begins by loving our neighbors. Would you guys take a look at the screens?
First, know who your neighbor is. But before you can even begin the neighborly process of neighboring them, you must first comprehend the neighborhood of your own skin. For we were the worst of neighbors, waging cul-de-sac wars with our transgressions, furnishing our habitats with our inhabiting sins. We were residing in hate, as if bricks of enmity formed our residences, and we were walling ourselves off as if selfish deeds were our addresses. We were disgruntled neighbors of the Almighty, and we were drowning in the mortgage of our flesh's home, knowing that no wage we could ever earn could pay off our wager. But now we actually can love others because God himself did show us how to neighbor.
We were the other.
family. We were cut off from our true father and from our line of royalty. We love the lonely because he who is love became loneliness for us. And because he who is God was forsaken by God when he cried out on the cross. We reconcile the races because we were of the wrong race. We were children of Adam, by nature, children of wrath. And because of the color of our sin-stained skin, we deserved all the horror of our racism. We empower the poor because we were once homeless without roof, wall, or door. We thought we had all the comforts of earth, but hell was all we actually had in store. We do all this and more, but not because we're trying to somehow be on our best behavior. We do it in response to and because of the true one who taught us how to neighbor.
We were the orphan. You are the father. You brought a son and a sister and brother. Still with the calling to love one another. Love one another. Love one another.
My past route, it would all be hard to swallow. Heroin took my parents in, spit them out as a broken model. Broken bottles and no tomorrows, lonely sorrows and phony models. I'm doing good, I'm just fine, but inside my soul was hollow. My life was a hot mess, home far from spotless. Syringes left behind cabinet doors, liquor bottles in closets. I went to church a few times, they shook my hand, said God bless. But no one embraced, closed in a space. This orphan needed their arms stretched. By the time I was 16, left my house for the third time. By 17, I didn't have a home. Nomadic roaming to survive. Inside, I hated God. Waited long for love to land. Loneliness was my only friend, and no one seemed to understand. And all of that is a true story. So how did I get here today? My heart beats to God's rhythm. Jesus Christ took tears away. But how'd he do it? Here's the way. One man didn't fear my space. He took me into his home and then showed love with the clearest grace. Taught me how to love God, love my wife and love my neighbor. No, I've been married 10 years, 3 kids. There's nothing greater than loving the lost. When it's uncomfortable and comes at a cost. If he never reached out his hands, then I would have run for the cause. Although his complexion was dark, ethnicity different, our races reconciled. We need stepped in with assistance. And right now, the lonely ones need your open arms. So let the church arise and wait before the coming dawn.
We will be open.
Which is everyone, because we all need to move in to God's neighborhood of grace. So may the orphans be embraced, may the lonely be loved, may the races be restored, and may we empower the poor, because all this and more was first done by our Savior, the God-man known as Jesus, who taught us how to neighbor.
Literally earlier today, I had a beanie on, and at the last second, I was like, I'm going to look just like that guy in that video if I do that, so I scrapped it, but fusion. Oh, come, desire of nations. Bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. and fill the whole world with heaven's peace. O come, Emmanuel, be God with us that we might learn to be with those in this world who need us to be that. Fusion, would you pray with me? God, I pray now that you would remind us that you came to be our Emmanuel. Because you came, we are never alone. Lord, I pray right now for those in this room who need to be reminded that you are God with us. Lord, we know that sometimes the Christmas season isn't a joy-filled time, but it's a time of loneliness. It's a time of sorrow. It's a time of regret. It's a time where broken families are highlighted in our minds. Lord, for anybody in this room struggling through this Christmas season, I pray that you would remind them now, you would speak to them now that you are God with us. Lord, for those who are in a hard situation, in a scary situation, in an overwhelming situation, would you speak and remind us that we are never alone. Jesus, because you came, you are God with us. And Lord, I pray that you would make us a group, make us a church committed to being with our neighbors. Following the example of love and grace that you first gave us, Jesus, would we then turn and give that to those in our lives who are our neighbors? Use this church, Lord, to see the neighborhoods restored, to see the races reconciled, to see the hurting loved, to see the lonely brought in to family. Lord, would you use us to be that kind of church, we pray. We thank you that you are with us and that we are never alone. In Jesus' name, amen.